20 minutes after 6 o'clock here on Power Business. We move on now and start focusing a little bit more detail in the mineral resources, commodities, or mining, whichever you want to call it. That is a key industry here in South Africa, a big employer, of course. Used to be also a big part of our GDP, but not so much anymore. Services, financial services, those kind of businesses are, but still, quite emotionally, the country kind of always follows the kind of mood in the mining industry. If the mood is positive, the country generally becomes positive, and if it's negative, and it is also kind of follows suit. Of course, we've been having this overhang in this particular industry around the mining charter itself. When it came out last year, you could have heard like a pin drop when I was sitting suddenly in that press conference, when the industry just literally, you know, couldn't believe what we were all hearing in terms of all the additional things that were in there. I suddenly was very surprised by that 1% royalty requirement that kind of came from nowhere, right? I mean, how do you just ask an industry to just pay you 1% of their revenues, and many other things, of course, in that particular charter. The one that was contentious even before the charter came out was the whole issue of once empowered, always empowered. And I guess whether it's at an ownership level, which is the empowerment one, or whether it is at a commercial level, which is things like this royalty, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. Kiara Masina joins me now on the line. She's a director for corporate and commercial practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyer to tell us more about her own thoughts. Of course, she's a player in the industry, so she'll be a lot closer to the action. Hello.
Hi there, Andile. How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you for having me.
So is it a fair assessment that indeed this charter has brought a lot of uncertainty to the industry?
Absolutely, Andile. I think that, you know, it kind of came out of nowhere, and obviously with little consultation with industry before it was actually gazetted. And I think that in itself was major cause for concern. And also the way in which it is drafted leads to a lot of uncertainty as to how one would actually implement it. Many sort of uncertainties. It's not very clearly drafted, etc.
Right. And I do know that it was also a big criticism from industry. But to what extent then could that impact on the industry as the year goes by? Because there is one certainty that we certainly have had, and some level of political certainty, certainly the certainty that business likes, and that is the fact that a former businessman, Cyril Ramaphosa, is now president of the ANC, and it looks like quite fathomable that for the next 12 months or so, he is likely to be president of the country. Surely that helps somehow, no?
I think it would certainly help, Andile. You know, Cyril Ramaphosa has expressed that this is something which needs to be dealt with urgently. And I think certainly that has inspired some sort of cautious optimism amongst, you know, industry stakeholders that perhaps, you know, industry and government can sort of sit across the table and find a workable solution.
But you know, some may say that, you know, we should stick to our guns when it comes to empowerment. We should not relax anything just to invite investors. What about the mining charter, in your own view, has created this kind of wait and see, and people are hoping that there's a better outcome as opposed to, you know, putting dollars in the ground and actually investing? Is it the general principle of empowerment, or, as you said earlier, is it the lack of clarity perhaps on certain clauses?
Look, I think that certainly the industry has been clear and consistent in its messaging that it's absolutely supportive of transformation and its importance to South Africa as a whole, and obviously in the industry. So I don't think that that is the issue at all. I think it's about having an industry to transform. And, you know, when there's so much policy and legislative uncertainty, and, you know, investors are not sure as to exactly, you know, what the requirements are and how one would go about it, that's the concern. So I think the focus needs to be on actually, you know, finding a workable solution where we will have investor confidence, an industry to grow, and an industry to transform, where sort of everybody wins.
Do we stand a chance that perhaps we are losing some of this positivity and confidence that we may have had in the past in the industry to other people? I mean, you know, because others may very well say, look, guys, we've got the endowments, we've got the mineral endowments. There's no way, no matter how unhappy they are, or uncertain they are, there's no way you can avoid South Africa just purely because the PGMs are so strong. We're like number two or something like that in the world. Gold has always been kind of the staple diet. People are not going to go anywhere else. So calm down. No matter all of this uncertainty, no one's going anywhere.
Look, I think that there is a risk that that investors would would sort of pull out of the country. I think we've seen some uncertainty where, you know, particularly around the time of the publishing of the mining charter, you know, certainly I think some international investors were very nervous. But I think that I do think a lot of investors have adopted that sort of wait and see approach. Because as you say, you know, it is actually such a good and strong industry and it has so much potential.
Okay, so are you certainly where you guys are sitting as advisors on these type of transactions, can you specifically point though on transactions where you were perhaps involved and you just literally saw something that could have quite easily have happened and all of this uncertainty led to it not happening?
Well, I think that one generally sees it in the nature of transactions that we see in the industry. So certainly we're not, you know, working on a lot of new mining developments at this stage. I think that generally what we've seen is investors are reluctant to invest that large capital which is required to develop mining projects. We've obviously seen a lot of distressed transactions. You know, lots of operations have been put onto care and maintenance. You know, people selling off non-core assets, you know, to kind of keep going, restructurings and refinancings and those sorts of things.
I guess we've also seen, Jarda, the amount of just operators that have decided to exit South African assets. I mean, Anglo's gone through a very big process of selling their coal assets, for example, that are very Eskom dependent, and one doesn't have to look for the link there, right? There's some loss of confidence on our state-owned entities, Eskom in particular being downgraded so many times. You can see a global player saying, maybe I don't want this, and they're selling it to local players. I guess this kind of disintegration will kind of continue for as long as there's uncertainty in the market, and if you couple that with commodity prices and the outlook of them, we may very well see more of this, notwithstanding what Cyril Ramaphosa may be able to achieve.
Look, I think that is right, but I do think that some certainty regarding the legislative framework and the policy surrounding the mining charter, I do think that would go a long way to sort of restoring some confidence in investing in South African mining assets.
All right. Loud and clear. Thank you so much for your time, Jarda Masina. She's a Director for Corporate and Commercial Practices at CDH. Thank you so much, ma'am. Oh, she's gone. Right. There you go. That's what's happening next week in the Mother City. You do not want to miss it. Mosebenzi Zwane is still the Minister of Mineral Resources, notwithstanding some of the controversy around him in recent times. He'll be, of course, delivering the opening address down in Cape Town. And I'm pretty sure all the participants of the industry will be there. We're also seeing a lot of activity, by the way, from black-owned, not only investment companies, but actual operators of the mines. Mr. Mike Deco, of course, through Seriti Resources, having done an initial transaction with the coal assets from Anglo and having announced, I think it was earlier this week, the second round of one of the big mines that were not part of the first transaction is now part of the second transaction. And you're kind of seeing a lot of this activity. And typically, the mining industry also announces a lot of deals, by the way, in Cape Town during mining in Durban, because of obviously the media attention that everybody receives when they are down there. It's a great time for announcements. So you're likely to see a lot more announcements come through next week coming from Cape Town in the mining industry. On the negative note, though, a very sad note is that more than 900 miners are trapped underground in a Sibanye gold mine in the Free State, and apparently this follows an electric cable outage after a storm on Wednesday night, that is last night. Spokesperson for Sibanye did say that all the miners have been accounted for and are safe. Operators are currently trying to restore power to the shaft so that the miners can come back, and of course they did say that they were bringing in some generators to make sure that they assist with the power, to make sure that they can haul the guys back on to open land. And they did say there was some kind of issues that they were having earlier on, but all of it is now resolved, which is a big relief, but sad still that we could be in a situation where potentially so many people could be stuck underground. And of course, we do know that we are still reeling from the last instance of people being stuck underground and not being able to come back onto land. It's 29